This Moonlit Heart is Home by Selene. Read by X-Men Hater. Summary. The thing was, Wei Ying wasn't always chaos in feline form. Most of the time, he was a perfectly normal human, or at least as normal as a werecat could be. As normal as anyone could be if they were forced to spend 3 nights every lunar month in a cat-shaped body. And besides, it wasn't as though Wei Ying wanted to be part-time cat. He didn't. The moon nights were an inconvenience to be endured, and the rest of the time he was as human as possible, and that was that as far as he was concerned. Meeting Lan Chan in cat form was entirely accidental. Wei Ying stared at Lan Chan, their gazes locking as he deliberately pushed the first glass off the counter. It landed with a disappointing thump. It was acrylic. Even knowing there was orange juice splattered across Lan Chan's kitchen floor didn't make up for the lack of a satisfying crash. Shit. He reached out, eyes never leaving Lan Chan's, and slowly nudged the second glass to the edge of the counter. Lan Chan's eyes narrowed slightly. Wei Ying ignored the warning and shoved it off the counter. There, more orange juice to clean. Fuck you for replacing the fun smashable glasses with boring acrylic ones. Feeling deeply satisfied with the sticky, messy chaos he'd made, and ignoring the less definable chaos he'd caused, Wei Ying sauntered along the counter, tail held high, and jumped out of the kitchen window with all the dignity his small, furry body could muster. The thing was, Wei Ying wasn't always chaos in feline form. Most of the time, he was a perfectly normal human, or at least as normal as a werecat could be. As normal as anyone could be if they were forced to spend 3 nights every lunar month in a cat-shaped body. He preferred not to think about the fact that he could choose to be a cat the rest of the time, too. It felt dangerous, attempting escape on bad days. He hadn't chosen to have a cat as his alternate form. Sometimes he wished he could remember his parents better, because they must have explained it to him once. Sometimes he wished he could yell at them and ask them why, out of all the animals, he had to be a black cat. A small black cat. He couldn't have been something cooler. A wolf? An eagle? Fuck, an octopus would have been better. Even if that meant he needed to spend 3 nights a month in a tank. At least octopuses had the Houdini escape artist thing going for them. No, his inconvenient monthly form was a small black cat. Did he get it from his mother? Father? Nobody had ever told him, and he didn't like to ask his adoptive parents. Madame Yu wouldn't have told him on principle, and Uncle Jiang got a sad look in his face whenever anyone mentioned Wei Ying's parents, so it was easier not to ask. He'd been lucky, really, that they understood what he was and made the effort to find him after his parents died. The first couple of foster homes had accused him of running away when he disappeared from his room at night. They hadn't believed him about the whole werecat thing, and at that age he hadn't learned how to shift at will outside moon times yet, so he couldn't prove it to them. He really had run away from his third foster placement. There were two dogs. Dobermans. He was a part-time cat. It hadn't gone well. Madame Yu liked to remind him regularly how lucky he was that the Jiangs found him, and most of the time he agreed. He'd also moved into his own place as soon as he could, midway through his sophomore year of college, because there was a limit on what gratitude could make him put up with if he had other options. A shitty studio apartment 2 miles from campus was an option, and he took it. The Jiangs didn't have a werebone in their bodies, but they came from a long line of witches, so his occasional furball problem didn't faze them. They didn't like to advertise what he was. The supernatural set in the Chinese diaspora could be snobs, but they accommodated him, and Jiang Yanli even bought him a collar with emergency contact details to wear if he went out on a moon night. He still had it, but he hadn't worn it in years. Living on his own meant there was no one to put the collar on him after he shifted, and he couldn't put it on before he shifted because his human neck was 10 times larger than his cat neck. The engineer part of his brain had to work very hard not to think about where his human mass went when he was in his tiny cat body. He wasn't even a Maine Coon, something with a bit of heft to it. No, he was a small domestic shorthair. He'd heard there were dragon shifters somewhere in the mountains back in China. Apparently, there were werewolves in wilder parts of America. Nie Huaisong swore his family had produced a couple of were-tigers back in the day. He was a very unimpressive, scruffy cat. Madame Yu had tried to teach him the magic her family used, which had gone about as well as his childish attempts to turn into a lion instead of a black cat. She'd even sent him out for lessons with a couple of the other witchy families in the area, but for a supernatural creature, he had turned out to be disappointingly magic-resistant. The only real skill he had was walking along the tops of fences without falling off, in both cat and human form. Oh, yeah, and getting really high if some jerk put fresh catnip in his salad when he wasn't looking, fuck you very much, Jiang Cheng. His ability to raise small animals from the dead was not something he mentioned in polite society, or in any society, really, because the supernatural set, Chinese or American, did not like people who could do that. It wasn't particularly useful in the modern world, either. They tended to come back angry, bitey, and flea-ridden. He didn't hate anyone enough to release a plague of undead rats on them. He met Lan Chan just after he moved out of the Jiang house. Lan Chan was probably the first, and so far only, friend he'd made outside the supernatural set. They met because Wei Ying had to take a music elective, and Lan Chan was a music major, and they ended up spending a semester as partners in a composition class that had somehow been one of Wei Ying's favorite college experiences. Yes, being glared at by Lan Chan once a week for a semester had actually been fun. He couldn't explain it even now. By the end of the semester, he had apparently moved up in Lan Chan's estimation from annoying nuisance to annoying acquaintance. By the end of their junior year, they were regular study partners in the library. On the night they graduated, they sat up on the roof of Wei Ying's apartment building drinking wine, Wei Ying, and tea, Lan Chan, watching the stars and talking idly about nothing and everything. He was Wei Ying's best friend, and probably the only person he really cared about who didn't know about the whole werecat problem. It hadn't been his plan to hide the werecat thing from Lan Chan. At first, during that semester of composition class, it hadn't occurred to him because there was no good reason to tell him. So there were 3 nights a month where they couldn't meet up? Did that matter? And Lan Chan hated him then anyway. Then they were acquaintances, growing into friends, and it still didn't seem like the kind of thing he could bring up in casual conversation. If Lan Chan noticed that Wei Ying's schedule for study sessions was connected to the lunar cycle, he never said anything. What kind of weirdo noticed that kind of thing? It wasn't like Lan Chan was in the supernatural set and had rituals where he needed to know the lunar cycle. Most regular humans didn't know when the full moon was unless they saw it on a calendar. Maybe he should have said something that night on the roof after graduation, but by then it felt too late. They were friends, best friends, and the time for telling Lan Chan about his inhuman nature was long past. Also, a part of Wei Ying liked that Lan Chan didn't know. He liked that there was one person in his life who didn't make kitty litter jokes or put catnip in his salad for fun or feed him nothing but fish because cats like fish, right? Having one normal human in his life was good. Refreshing. Easy. Right? Right. And besides, it wasn't as though Wei Ying wanted to be a part-time cat. He didn't. The moon nights were an inconvenience to be endured, and the rest of the time he was as human as possible, and that was that as far as he was concerned. Meeting Lan Chan in cat form was entirely accidental. As soon as Wei Ying got a regular, decent paycheck from his first engineering job, he moved out of his shitty studio apartment and into a house. It wasn't actually that much bigger than the studio had been, but it had a bedroom with a door, rather than a bed behind a screen, a living room where he could host movie night with Lan Chan sometimes, and a cat flap. No more propping open the window into his fire escape and hoping nobody noticed before he got home. He had a cat flap so he could get out to roam on moon nights without worrying someone would steal his laptop while he was gone. He'd tried staying at home on moon nights. If he was a cat, shouldn't he be comfortable curling up somewhere to nap through the experience? Apparently, it didn't work like that. For the first couple hours of the night, particularly on the actual full moon, his paws itched to roam, and his human willpower wasn't strong enough to curb the instinct. He'd tried locking himself in, but all that happened was that his paws itched to destroy instead. After replacing multiple sets of bedding and losing 3 important essays to that instinct, he'd given up. A propped open window onto the fire escape and a night on the tiles had to be allowed. His little house turned out to be only a couple of streets away from Lan Chan's very nice and much larger house. The Lans had money. Technically, the Jiangs also had money. Wei Ying, as Madame Yu regularly reminded him, was not a Jiang. Also, as she also reminded him, he was a cat. What did cats need with money? Houses, food, clothes, Netflix subscriptions. Wei Ying could think of a lot of things that he, in human form, needed money for. and his fur problem was only for 3 nights a month, 1.5 days out of 28, 5% of a lunar month. He didn't go to Lan Chan's house deliberately. The first moon time after he moved, he deliberately wandered in the opposite direction and returned to his house as soon as the roaming instinct subsided, to sleep in a tiny ball in the center of his bed for the rest of the night. In the second month, he let his paws decide his direction, and somehow he'd scrambled over garden fences and under hedges to Lan Chan's front door before he could stop himself. He blamed feline instincts. Lan Chan was getting out of his car as Wei Ying trotted up. He wondered why Lan Chan was out so late, but then he spotted the grocery sacks in the back seat and understood. The thing about being a werecat was that no matter how hard he tried, no matter how firm his will, sometimes his feline form overwhelmed his human brain. And sometimes, if he'd been working hard at being very, very human for a long time, say during the death march to submitting his first major project at work, letting his feline nature take over for a few hours was almost a relief. It could even be fun. So when Lan Chan walked up to his front door, Wei Ying didn't try to stop himself winding around Lan Chan's ankles, almost tripping him up. He cackled inside at the startled exclamation above him and did a mental fist pump when Lan Chan dropped his keys. Wei Ying batted the keys around on the mat a couple of times before Lan Chan crouched down to pick them up and said,
"No, I need those."
Wei Ying bumped his head against Lan Chan's hand and hooked a claw on the keyring. Lan Chan put down his grocery sack and carefully extracted Wei Ying's claw from the keyring. Wei Ying immediately stood up on his hind feet so he could push his face into the bag and start investigating. He wasn't hungry, but there were a lot of crinkly things under his paws, and he'd never been able to resist a bag, whether he was feline or human. There was an odd sound above him. He tipped his head up and realized, after a startled pause, that the sound was laughter. Well, a puff of laughter, not a belly laugh or anything undignified. But the corners of Lan Chan's mouth were twitching, and he made another small, huffy sound that was weirdly charming. Wei Ying wished he was human so he could smile at the sight. Then his stomach did a strange, swoopy thing that he didn't like. Lan Chan never laughed when Wei Ying was human. Smiled, yes. One of his tiny smiles, or even sometimes his slow, cat-blink smile that made Wei Ying's belly do a different swoopy thing he tried not to think about. But he never laughed. He deliberately stood on Lan Chan's loaf of bread. Lan Chan batted him away from it, and Wei Ying definitely did not have the urge to rub his head against Lan Chan's hand again as he did so. Nope, no way. One head bump was all Lan Chan was getting. If he knew how special that was, he would... Wei Ying pushed that thought away, too. Lan Chan picked up his sack of groceries and stood before Wei Ying could do any further damage to his bread. He opened the door and went inside. Out of pure habit, Wei Ying followed him in and down the short hallway to the kitchen. When Lan Chan turned around from putting the grocery sack on the counter, his eyes widened slightly.
"Hello, little one."
Wei Ying almost looked over his shoulder before realizing Lan Chan was addressing him.
"You must be new in the area," Lan Chan continued. "Are you lost?"
Wei Ying felt a little lost, but not in the way Lan Chan probably meant. He followed Lan Chan out of the house and watched him pick up the other sacks of groceries. Then he followed Lan Chan back to the house and hesitated in the doorway. Lan Chan looked down at him.
"Would you like to come in?"
Wei Ying wanted to frown up at him. Did Lan Chan invite all the strange cats in the neighborhood into his house? Reason reasserted itself immediately. No, he didn't, because Wei Ying would have smelled the other cats even in his human form. Lan Chan nodded, and Wei Ying realized, as the door started to close, that he'd assumed Wei Ying wasn't going to come inside. He darted in before the door could shut completely. It felt final in a way that made the fur on his back want to lift, and he immediately turned around and clawed at the door. Lan Chan shifted the grocery sacks onto one arm so he could open the door again, and Wei Ying froze. After a moment's thought, he stepped backwards away from the door. He wasn't ready to leave yet. That odd huff-laugh sound came again, but Lan Chan didn't say anything as he closed the door and went to the kitchen. Wei Ying followed on his heels and watched as Lan Chan unpacked groceries. It was nice. Lan Chan put one of the empty grocery sacks on the floor, and Wei Ying knocked it over so he could crawl inside. Then he crawled out and spent a few minutes pouncing on the bag, feeling the paper crinkle under his paws. The human part of him was embarrassed.
The feline part of him cackled happily and wondered whether he could persuade Lan Chan to drop the other bags on the floor for him. He didn't, but he did something even better. He dug out a piece of string from the kitchen drawer and twitched the end alluringly just in front of Wei Ying's nose. He couldn't help it. He swatted at it and ran after it when Lan Chan pulled it away, and, for a few minutes, he forgot all about not letting his feline instincts rule. He was a cat, there was a piece of string, and he hadn't played like this since. He shoved that thought away and focused on the game. He got tired of playing before Lan Chan did, flopping onto his side to bat half-heartedly at the string while he caught his breath. Lan Chan's mouth was curled into that small smile he rarely showed, and Wei Ying blinked at him, to let him know that he'd had fun too. Maybe Lan Chan had experience with cats, because he nodded solemnly and folded the string up to put it back in the drawer. Wei Ying yawned. He should probably go home, but Lan Chan was starting to get things out of the fridge to make supper, and it would be rude to interrupt. That didn't usually stop him, but tonight felt different. He curled up into a neat meatloaf and watched Lan Chan chop things and stir other things. None of it smelled appetizing. Vegetables and tofu were not cat food. But he enjoyed watching Lan Chan cook, no matter what form he took. Usually, he chattered and stole mushrooms and drank wine while Lan Chan cooked. But sitting quietly wasn't bad. He thought that might be a cat thing, too, because he never felt like being vocal while he was furry. And he never seemed to be able to stop himself talking when he wasn't. He followed Lan Chan into the dining room and curled up on one of the chairs while Lan Chan ate. When he hopped down later, it was covered in his black fur, and that made him feel something fierce and possessive he didn't want to examine. The string came out again for a while after supper, and then he sat with Lan Chan while he marked a stack of essays. When he noticed that Lan Chan looked sleepy, he trotted to the front door and yowled to be let out. As he bounded away, he heard Lan Chan say, "Good night, little one." He told himself he wasn't going back the next day, but he found himself outside Lan Chan's house a couple of hours after he transformed. The car was in the driveway, but there was a light in the kitchen window. He hopped up onto the windowsill and hit the glass with his paw a couple of times. Lan Chan opened the window and let him in. They played with the piece of string. Lan Chan ate his supper and marked more essays. Wei Ying accidentally broke a mug when he jumped onto the dining table to get a better look at an essay that had made Lan Chan frown. Lan Chan didn't scold him, but he did explain carefully why cats shouldn't get on dining tables. Wei Ying jumped back onto the dining table as soon as Lan Chan took the broken mug shards to the kitchen, curling up on the stack of essays he'd already marked. Lan Chan did the huff laugh thing and didn't try to move him. Wei Ying left through the open window when Lan Chan started to look sleepy. On the third final night of moon time, Wei Ying barely made it home from work before his body started transforming. His clothes ended up in a pile on the floor of his hallway. He didn't have time to eat, and he had a suspicion he'd skipped lunch, too. He did a cursory tour of the neighborhood before trotting over to Lan Chan's house. The kitchen window was already open, so he jumped up, knocking the plastic caddy where Lan Chan kept his dish and bottle brushes into the sink. The crash brought Lan Chan running.
"Good evening, little one," Lan Chan said, the corners of his mouth twitching up.
Wei Ying hopped down onto the floor and wound around Lan Chan's ankles a few times before sitting down on his haunches, looking up expectantly. Lan Chan reached into his pocket and took something out. It unfurled into a little feathery mouse on a string. Wei Ying forgot all about being hungry and irritated for a while, because he hadn't had a toy since. Well, it had been a long, long time. They played until Wei Ying's legs felt like jelly and he flopped onto his side. Lan Chan made that huff laugh sound and put the toy away in a drawer. He started making supper. After a few minutes, Wei Ying got up and hopped onto one of the stools at the kitchen island. Lan Chan was making a stir fry, and although the vegetables didn't smell interesting, the scent from the rice cooker was good. His stomach gurgled. For a long moment, he debated with himself. Was he really going to do it? Was this a cat thing or a human thing? He thought back to the weekend when they'd gone to a play in the park, and then he'd complained about being hungry until Lan Chan offered to stop for takeout on the way home. They'd eaten on his couch in front of a Netflix documentary on Arctic wildlife. He opened his mouth and meowed. Lan Chan looked at him. He tried again, adding a tiny chirp sound at the end. It took Lan Chan a while, but eventually he took the hint.
My food won't be good for you, Lan Chan said, but he was getting a small bowl out of the cupboard anyway. Perhaps the rice. I don't have meat in the house or fish.
Wei Ying was hungry enough for rice to sound really good.
Lan Chan waited until the rice was cooked, which was fair, but he gave Wei Ying a handful of Cheerios while they waited. Wei Ying really wished he could tease him about the Cheerios, but he was currently a cat, and the box was hidden right at the back of the cupboard, so he wouldn't be able to stumble over it convincingly as a human either. Lan Chan, who ate so healthily, had Cheerios in his cupboard. It was a piece of information he needed to examine carefully. He wasn't sure why it was important, but it felt like it was. Lan Chan carried his plate and Wei Ying's bowl into the dining room when everything was ready, and they ate together. He made a pained face at the amount of rice Wei Ying accidentally knocked out of the bowl in his hurry to eat. But Wei Ying couldn't do anything about that. Eating as a cat was never dignified. It was one of the reasons he tried not to do it. The rice was bland and boring, but it filled the hole in his stomach and he felt much better by the time Lan Chan was ready to do the dishes. He felt so much better, in fact, that he was ready for a long nap. He left through the kitchen window to go home before he could fall asleep. When he saw Lan Chan again at the weekend in his human shape, Lan Chan didn't mention the cat who had visited him, and Wei Ying, of course, couldn't ask without betraying how he knew about the cat. It was awkward at first, but then Lan Chan asked about the book they were both reading, and Wei Ying had opinions, TM, that he needed to share, and everything was just like it had always been. Wei Ying promised himself he wouldn't go see Lan Chan again at the next full moon, but the kitchen window was open when he wandered past, and he couldn't stop himself. Lan Chan had bought another toy, a little sparkly thing on a stick. He looked pleased to see Wei Ying, even though Wei Ying knocked his brush caddy into the sink again. And that was how things went for the next year. Wei Ying visited Lan Chan on moon nights after he'd run some of the restlessness out of his paws. They played, Lan Chan ate supper and sometimes fed Wei Ying if he was hungry. Tins of tuna started to live in Lan Chan's cupboards because Wei Ying refused to eat cat food. He lay across Lan Chan's work if he brought grading home, or if there was no grading. He lay along the back of the sofa to watch the dramas he hadn't realized Lan Chan liked. The kitchen window was always propped open. He always left before Lan Chan's bedtime. Toys proliferated around the house. Lan Chan even bought a cat tower, one of the huge fancy ones with multiple platforms and nests, which gave Wei Ying a new place to watch dramas from when he wasn't bouncing from platform to platform or scrambling up the supports. When he was human, Wei Ying never asked Lan Chan why there were cat toys around the house when he visited. He didn't ask about the huge cat tower or the lint roller that now lived on a table near the front door. In fact, he was studiously careful never to mention anything about cats or cat-adjacent subjects. What happened on moon nights stayed on moon nights. Their friendship outside moon night stayed exactly as it was. Wei Ying got a promotion at work. Lan Chan produced his first concert with his students. They ate more dinners and lunches together than he could count. Jiang Yanli got married and Wei Ying missed most of it because it was held on a full moon and Madame Yu insisted on having the ceremony after dark. He destroyed 3 stuffed mice at Lan Chan's house that night, just ripped them apart savagely, and barely held himself back from scratching the hell out of the coffee table. He tore half the sisal off one of the cat tower supports. The next night, the cat tower had been repaired, and Wei Ying couldn't decide whether he was grateful or annoyed that Lan Chan was so nice. He knocked a glass onto the floor that night, feeling a deep-seated satisfaction when it shattered. Lan Chan said, "Little one," in the same tone he used when Wei Ying skipped meals or had a Madame Yu-inspired hangover, and Wei Ying hopped out of the kitchen window immediately. He was human when he saw Lan Chan the next evening. Lan Chan asked him how the wedding went, and Wei Ying expected to feel that same rush of hurt anger he felt 2 nights ago. But it wasn't there. He was able to smile and show off the photos and talk about how beautiful Jiang Yanli was without feeling like his stomach was twisting into a knot. Lan Chan didn't seem to notice that Wei Ying hadn't talked about the ceremony or the party after, and Wei Ying congratulated himself for managing to hide the truth without actually lying. Lying to Lan Chan felt awful. He didn't have to do it often, but he always tried to omit rather than lie if he could. He probably should have realized that it couldn't last forever,
But Wei Ying had never been good at anticipating the consequences of his actions. Accepting them? Yes, very good at that, particularly at accepting the blame. Plotting out how everything would go wrong? No, he lived in the moment. He'd worry about tomorrow when it came. It came on a bad day. It was early winter, so sunset was getting earlier every day, and making it home before he turned furry was becoming more difficult. Wei Ying usually worked from home around the full moon on winter days, but there had been a big meeting at work that he couldn't miss, and then there had been traffic, and... He could feel the tug deep in his chest as he scrambled through the front door. A moment later, everything flashed white, and then he was suffocating inside a heap of heavy clothes. He had to fight his way out from under his winter jacket. The front door was shut, thankfully, and it looked like he'd turned the lock before his opposable thumbs went away. It was a full moon night. Adrenaline was racing through his veins, and his paws were itching to feel the earth rushing past him. So he tumbled through the cat flap and ran. He clambered over fences, wriggled under hedges, trotted along low railings, bounded across lawns. The air was cold and damp in his face, but he kept running until the restlessness passed and tiredness crept in, and then he turned around to start for home. He was still several streets away when the rain started. It turned to sleet a moment later, sludgy stuff that stuck to his fur and soaked through to his skin. By the time he reached Lanchan Street, he was so miserably chilled that he almost didn't make the jump up to his kitchen window. He slipped on the windowsill and crashed into the sink, sending the brush caddy flying. He was still sitting in the sink, wondering whether he should just go home, where he could drip on his crappy furniture instead of Lanchan's nice furniture, when hurried footsteps announced Lanchan's arrival. His eyes widened slightly as they fell on Wei Ying, and he turned on his heel and left. Wei Ying sighed internally and began scrambling out of the sink onto the windowsill. All his limbs were starting to stiffen up from the cold and the long run. Even his ears felt frozen. His frozen ear twitched as he heard the footsteps return, and he looked over his shoulder, in time to see Lan Chan entering the kitchen with a big fluffy towel in his hands. A black fluffy towel. All his towels were usually white. Lan Chan halted just out of reach. Wei Ying eyed him warily. They had an agreement. Unspoken, naturally. There was no petting. Sometimes, when Wei Ying was feeling particularly pleased about something, he gave Lan Chan a head bump. If he wound around Lan Chan's ankles, it was mostly to trip him and to make him laugh. It didn't feel right to let Lan Chan pet him when he was a cat. It had taken him years to train Lan Chan into looking comfortable with occasional touches when Wei Ying was human. Pulling him along by the wrist through crowds, hooking a chin over his shoulder when Lan Chan was cooking, sometimes leaning against each other during movie marathons, Wei Ying had earned all of that through steady persistence. He was shameless about some things, but he refused to take advantage of Lan Chan's love for small fluffy animals. It had something to do with consent. Wei Ying was never entirely clear in his mind about why consent felt important here, but it did. Except, he was very cold. Very wet. He was shivering. And Lan Chan had a fluffy towel. Wei Ying turned away from the kitchen window and sat on his haunches. Lan Chan moved closer, holding out the towel. Wei Ying could feel the warmth radiating from the fluffy folds. He reached out, hooked a claw on it, and pulled it closer. Lan Chan took the hint and wrapped him in the towel. Wei Ying made an embarrassing happy sound that he planned to never make again, and submitted to the mortifying ordeal of being lovingly burritoed in a towel by his best friend. He lost track of things for a while. Lan Chan was very good at drying out cold, soggy cats. When he was aware of anything again, they were sitting on the sofa, and Lan Chan was rubbing his back with the towel. He was warm and dry. Lan Chan had a soft look on his face. Wei Ying's belly did the weird swoopy thing he tried not to think about.
"Are you hungry, little one?" Lan Chan asked.
Wei Ying realized his stomach was also doing the gurgly thing. He had a feeling he'd skipped lunch again, and obviously he hadn't had time to eat before he went furry. Lan Chan gave his back one last sweep with the towel and stood up.
"You're hungry. We will eat."
Wei Ying stepped out of the damp towel and curled up in the corner of the sofa. For once, he didn't feel like watching Lan Chan cook. He needed to process the whole towel-drying experience, but he fell into a light doze instead. Supper was rice and tuna, and Lan Chan had even poured some of the tuna water from the can over it. Wei Ying was aware that he made the embarrassing whoop
sound again at the first mouthful, but he was firmly not thinking about it. At least he hadn't purred. He curled up on the sofa again after supper, pressed against Lan Chan's leg. That was almost like leaning against him during a movie marathon, right? Wei Ying told himself it was, and then he slipped into another doze before he could rationalize it any further. At some point, Lan Chan turned off the television and went to bed. Wei Ying was vaguely aware of the movement, of making a soft, complaining sound, but sleep dragged him back before he could do anything more. He was warm and comfortable. He slept deeply. It was early winter, so dawn came late. Wei Ying slept through his transformation back to human. He woke up still curled into a ball, but the awkward human sort of curled up rather than the neat cat curling. He stretched out of bed and shivered. The cool air on his naked skin was unpleasant, and he reached for the blankets to pull them up, but there weren't any. He was on a sofa. He was on Lan Chan's sofa. He was naked on Lan Chan's sofa, and it was definitely well after 5 o'clock, so Lan Chan was awake somewhere in the house. There was a soft sound at the living room door, and Wei Ying's eyes shot open. He caught a glimpse of Lan Chan's face, and before he could think it through, he pulled himself down into cat form. Lan Chan's expression didn't change. He turned around slowly and walked away. Wei Ying tried to tell himself that it was fine. Lan Chan probably hadn't noticed anything. The lie was too big, and his brain refused to accept it. He uncurled and hopped down. He padded across the living room and into the hallway. There was a small stack of clothes sitting just outside the door. Lan Chan hadn't been gone long enough to fetch clothes from upstairs and bring them down. Fuck. Wei Ying ignored the clothes and their implication and went into the kitchen. There were 2 glasses of orange juice on the counter, and Lan Chan was doing something on the stove that was probably going to be breakfast. The coffee machine made a burbling sound. Wei Ying jumped up on the counter. He eyed the glasses of orange juice. Lan Chan turned around to watch. Did he look disappointed? Wei Ying pushed the glasses off the counter and jumped out of the kitchen window. He ran home, feeling sick and knowing it had nothing to do with last night's tuna. He ignored his phone all day. There were 4 calls from Lan Chan and 6 texts. Before darkness fell, he locked the cat flap. He put the blanket Jiang Yanli had made him into a cupboard. He hid the pretty vase Lan Chan had given him as a housewarming gift. In the morning, he cleaned up the shards from the mug he'd forgotten to put away, threw out 2 X-cushions, and swept up their feathers. He ignored all the damage he couldn't fix with a dustpan and brush. It was Saturday, which usually meant hanging out with Lan Chan, but he packed up his hiking gear and drove out of the city. Deep in a forest, some startled deer had an uncomfortable afternoon being chased by undead, bitey squirrels and chipmunks. Wei Ying got home long after Lan Chan's usual bedtime and told himself that it was good Lan Chan wasn't waiting there for him. He ignored the new messages on his phone and drank far too much wine on an empty stomach. A loud battering at his front door woke Wei Ying. He pulled a pillow over his head and tried to ignore it, but the sound didn't stop. It got worse. His phone started ringing and vibrating on his nightstand. Wei Ying groaned and squinted at the time. Almost 11. Ugh. The phone went silent for a moment before starting again. The banging at his front door didn't stop. Wei Ying's head was going to explode if it didn't stop. He rolled out of bed and regretted it immediately when his stomach churned and the world seemed to swing dizzily around him. He swallowed hard, willing himself not to throw up, and grabbed a hoodie off the pile of clothes on a chair in the corner. He had it mostly on his shoulders by the time he reached the door. A quick check reassured him he was wearing sleeping pants and a tank top, so he was decent enough to open the door. A tiny voice at the back of his mind tried to remind him that Lan Chan had probably, definitely, seen him naked already. He squashed the voice viciously. Lan Chan looked worried when Wei Ying opened the door. Wei Ying tried to smile brightly, but it felt crooked and his stomach churned uncomfortably. It was not the good sort of swoopy.
Hi, Lan Chan. What a surprise. You know, I'd love to chat, but I've got, lunch with Ajie.
A faint line appeared between Lan Chan's eyebrows.
Your sister is visiting her in-laws this weekend.
Fuck, why did Lan Chan know his schedule so well?
Oh.
Wei Ying felt his smile slide into something sickly.
What about Sunday brunch with your uncle? Is that today?
It wasn't, and he knew it.
Wei Ying.
He sighed, shoulders slumping.
Lan Chan.
If you don't want to talk, I understand.
Oh shit, why was he being so nice? Wei Ying wanted to scratch something.
Why are you so nice?
The tips of Lan Chan's ears went pink.
Wei Ying.
Feeling completely outmaneuvered and outclassed, Wei Ying stepped back and gestured.
Come in, I need some coffee.
He trusted Lan Chan to follow as he trudged to his tiny kitchen and began the complicated process of enticing his ancient coffee maker to produce something that resembled coffee. By the time it was making a solid gurgling sound, Lan Chan was in the kitchen with him. He was holding out a glass of water in one hand and a couple of aspirin in the other.
Do you need to knock this on the floor, too?
Lan Chan said.
You should put some slippers on first or you will hurt your feet when it smashes.
The last shred of hope that Lan Chan hadn't noticed anything the other morning shattered. Wei Ying took the glass and swallowed the pills, draining the water, before pointedly putting it into the sink. Knocking glasses on the floor was a cat thing, not a human thing. The coffee machine beeped and Wei Ying poured some into his largest mug. He offered the pot to Lan Chan, who declined, and replaced it on the warmer. In silence, he wrapped his hands around the coffee mug and led the way into the living room. Lan Chan's eyes darted around, and Wei Ying felt his face heat. The legs of the coffee table were ruined, and there were rips in one sofa arm he hadn't noticed yesterday. He sat down at the end of the sofa, drawing his legs up to sit cross-legged and definitely not like a cat. Lan Chan sat down at the other end of the sofa. Silence stretched between them, sharp and ugly. Wei Ying buried his face in his coffee mug for a while. The churning in his stomach was starting to subside, but his head was still thumping, and he didn't feel ready for this conversation. A tiny part of him was tempted to poof into a cat again, but that was the coward's way, and Wei Ying hadn't let himself go furry outside the moon nights for a long time. Except for the other morning, he remembered uncomfortably. He'd gone furry then, and he'd played cat tricks to distract Lan Chan, and then he'd hidden like, well, like a frightened cat. Ugh. Shit. So, he said eventually. He took a deep breath.
You've probably got some questions.
He waited, but Lan Chan didn't say anything. His eyes seemed fixed on the scratches on the coffee table leg.
You should ask some questions, Wei Ying prompted. If you don't, we're just going to sit here silently all day because I don't know where to start.
What should I ask?
Wei Ying shrugged.
I don't know. You could probably start by asking what I am, I guess.
I know what you are.
Wei Ying frowned at him.
You are Wei Ying.
I'm also a cat, sometimes.
Lan Chan's head dipped slightly.
You are Wei Ying.
A thought sidled into Wei Ying's mind. He narrowed his eyes.
Lan Chan, how long have you known?
For the first time, Lan Chan looked uncomfortable. The tips of his ears turned pink.
I have suspected for a while. I was sure not long after you moved to this house.
Wei Ying felt his jaw drop open. He snapped it closed and frowned.
How? I mean, what? Huh?
He wrinkled his nose.
Fuck, too many questions. Lan Chan, how can you sit there so calmly talking about suspecting and knowing that I'm not entirely human without even looking slightly freaked out?
Lan Chan's shoulders lifted in a slight shrug, and he turned away from the coffee table. All the air in Wei Ying's lungs seemed to freeze as their eyes met. He was too cold and too hot simultaneously, and the temptation to go furry was so strong that he had to grit his teeth against it.
I hoped you would tell me when you were ready.
The corner of Lan Chan's mouth twitched.
I had hoped you would be ready sooner than this.
Wei Ying sighed and squirmed around so he was facing Lan Chan, the sofa arm digging into his back.
I liked that you didn't know about my fur problem.
A flash of hurt in Lan Chan's eyes made Wei Ying's chest tighten.
Why? Lan Chan asked.
He shrugged. It was nice having someone in my life who didn't. You don't look at me as though you're trying to decide what's human and what's not. You don't make dumb kitty litter jokes or slip catnip in my food.
Lan Chan opened his mouth, but Wei Ying was on a roll and he didn't let him speak.
You don't look disappointed because the werecat thing and the raising small animals from the dead thing are the only magical bits of me. You don't look sad because I am the least impressive werecreature anyone has ever seen. Everything can be normal when I'm with you.
He realized as the words ran out that his eyes felt hot, and he swiped them before any tears could fall.
You can raise animals from the dead?
Wei Ying frowned.
Is that the part you're stuck on?
Lan Chan shrugged. I did not know you could do that.
Yes, I am an unimpressive necromancer, as well as a deeply unimpressive werecreature. I apologize for hiding the necromancy better than the cat thing.
Have you ever tried resurrecting large animals?
Wei Ying opened his mouth, thought about it, closed his mouth, thought some more.
No?
Lan Chan nodded, as though he'd made an important point. It was very confusing.
I'm not human, Lan Chan. I'm a werecat. 3 nights a month I am small and fluffy and easily distractible with anything shiny.
Not just 3 nights a month.
What?
Lan Chan pulled something out of his pocket and dropped it by Wei Ying's feet. A sparkly mouse. Wei Ying started to reach out to swat at it, but he pulled his hand back quickly and narrowed his eyes.
No, stop that. Not allowed.
Why not?
Because...
Wei Ying gestured with both hands and coffee sloshed over the side of his mug.
Fuck.
He wrapped his fingers around his mug tightly, holding onto it until his knuckles turned white.
Lan Chan's lips flattened. All of Wei Ying is good. I wish you did not try to hide parts of yourself from me.
I don't hide,
he trailed off at Lan Chan's look.
It's just 3 nights a month, Lan Chan. 3 nights. You don't need those.
Lan Chan's expression was disappointed for the first time, and it made Wei Ying wince and squirm uncomfortably.
You are what you are at all times, he said. You should not pretend that part of you doesn't exist. It hurts you, and I do not enjoy seeing you hurting.
Lan Chan.
Wei Ying leaned forward and picked up the sparkly mouse, bouncing it a couple of times in his hand.
Are you really saying that you'd be comfortable with me playing with this when I'm human? I'm not even comfortable with me doing that, and I'm the werecat in this conversation.
You played with it last week.
Wei Ying looked down at the toy in his hand and winced.
Ah,
he'd been caught. It had only been for a minute while Lan Chan was getting snacks from the kitchen, and he dropped it as soon as he'd realized what he was doing. Apparently, he'd been worse at hiding than he thought.
You should not hide or pretend to be what you are not, Lan Chan said. You can be Wei Ying with me. You should always be Wei Ying with me.
Why?
Wei Ying asked, feeling numb and too hot and very confused all at once.
Are you magic? Are the Lan's witches? The Jiangs are and the Jins. That's why they took me in.
I wondered, Lan Chan said without changing expression. I am not a witch. There are stories that my ancestors used musical cultivation, but modern Lan's are not magic.
Oh, Wei Ying laughed. Then I guess realizing your best friend wasn't human was a bit of a shock. Why are you being so nice about it? Why aren't you horrified?
Lan Chan leaned forward.
Because I like you, Wei Ying. I like all of you.
Wei Ying could feel himself blushing. This much kindness was too much.
You say that now, but what if I start doing weird cat things around you?
You have been doing cat things around me for over a year.
As a cat?
I trust you not to spray the furniture in either form.
Wei Ying snorted.
Ew, gross. I would never.
As I said.
No, but Lan Chan, really, why are you being so nice?
Because you are Wei Ying, and I like you.
He met Lan Chan's eyes, so close to his, and he could feel the warmth in his face getting hotter. Lan Chan was being too good. He didn't deserve this. Lan Chan had known what he was for over a year, had suspected for even longer, and Wei Ying hadn't noticed. There hadn't been any odd looks. Nothing had changed about the way Lan Chan behaved around him. Even now, Lan Chan was looking at him the way he always did, warm and fond and admiring.
Oh. Oh. Lan Chan,
he said, whispered really.
When you say that you like me, do you mean, or do you,
The whole of Lan Chan's ears were pink now, not just the tips, and his gaze dropped down to the place where Wei Ying was trying to strangle the sparkly mouse. The silence was heavy and expectant. Wei Ying's hangover was physically gone, but his brain felt too big for his skull. Without conscious thought, he poofed into a cat. His mug fell to the floor with a soft thud, adding another coffee stain to the carpet. He had to squirm to extract his furry body from the tangle of hoodie and tank top because there was no way he could turn human again without doing himself some damage on a badly positioned seam. There had been an incident when he was a child. He learned fast. Lan Chan's expression was stricken, and Wei Ying wanted to reassure him that it was fine. He wasn't saying no to whatever Lan Chan was feeling. He was just overwhelmed and needed a moment. But unfortunately, he was a cat. All that emerged was a confused meow. He caught himself before he turned human again, because whatever was going on right now did not need added nudity. Instead, he butted his head reassuringly against Lan Chan's knee for a moment before fleeing upstairs. He stumbled as he transformed back to human, catching himself on the bedroom door. Maybe somewhere creatures could master the mid-step transformation, but Wei Ying had always found it disorienting, going from 4 feet to 2. He clung to the doorframe for a moment before straightening up and closing the door behind him. As he pulled out clothes and dressed, he tried to put his thoughts into order. There were 2 key pieces of information that he felt the need to assimilate before he looked at Lan Chan's face again. 1. Lan Chan was not freaked out by his best friend being a werecat. He also seemed intrigued rather than scared about the necromancy, and he'd rolled with the revelation that witches were a real thing very easily. Maybe he was going to have a breakdown about it all later, but Wei Ying didn't think so. He'd known Lan Chan for long enough to trust that his calm acceptance now was not going to change into something awful later. 2. Lan Chan liked Wei Ying. All of him. Even the weird things. Wei Ying felt his face flush because Lan Chan apparently liked him as well as liking him, which made his belly do giddy, swoopy things that he couldn't ignore anymore. Didn't want to ignore either. Lan Chan liked him for who he was, not despite who he was. Lan Chan had bought him toys and a cat tower, and he'd encouraged Wei Ying to have fun in his cat form at moon times, all while knowing who he was. He'd always let Wei Ying in human form be silly and playful around him, and the way he sometimes said, shameless, or ridiculous, was filled with fond indulgence, not sharp annoyance. That hadn't changed since he found out what Wei Ying was. There had never been a time, not once, that Wei Ying had caught him with the uncomfortable, speculative look other people got around him. It was one of the things Wei Ying really liked about him. Spending time with him was easy, relaxing, the best part of every week. Wei Ying abruptly plopped down on the floor with the sweater half over his head. He liked Lan Chan. That swoopy feeling in his belly was a good thing. It was a very good thing. Lan Chan liked everything about him. Lan Chan claimed that he would like him even if he let some of his feline instincts bleed through into his human life. Wei Ying wanted to rub his face all over Lan Chan, curl up in his lap, and find out how it felt to have Lan Chan's hand on his belly. His belly was probably a trap, but not the usual cat belly trap. He wanted Lan Chan to give him toys to tear up when he was angry, and he wanted to steal mushrooms and drink wine in his kitchen when he wasn't. He wanted to kiss Lan Chan and be kissed. Wei Ying's breath caught in his throat. Oh. He scrambled to his feet and finished pulling on his sweater. He dragged a brush through his tangled hair and tied it up with a red ribbon. A quick check in the mirror showed him that his cheeks were flushed and his eyes looked wild, but there was nothing he could do about either of those. At least he didn't look like a hungover mess anymore. He made himself take the time to brush his teeth. Not having disgusting post-hangover morning breath felt very important, even though it took 2 minutes that he didn't want to waste. When he got downstairs, the coffee table was still a scratched mess, and there were still rips in the sofa, but the coffee stains on the carpet had been cleaned up. A rattling sound in the kitchen told him where Lan Chan was, and he hurried through to find Lan Chan, setting a soapy knife in the drainer.
He was washing up. He'd made lunch. It smelled good. Wei Ying ignored it in favor of marching up to Lan Chan, putting his hands on Lan Chan's shoulders and pulling him around to face him.
"Are you going to freak out if I make weird noises when we kiss?" he asked. "Or ask you to pet my head when I'm human? Or, I don't know, turn out to have weirdly sensitive ears or something?"
Lan Chan looked at him steadily. "Do you think that's likely?"
"I don't know." Wei Ying bit his lip. "The petting thing is pretty likely, yeah. The rest of it..."
He shrugged and lifted his chin.
"You said you don't want me to hide anything. I have never felt comfortable doing that with anyone before. I guess you're going to find out."
He leaned up and pressed his lips to Lan Chan's. It was dry. Their noses squished uncomfortably. Lan Chan tilted his head slightly and Wei Ying's lips parted when he felt Lan Chan's hands settle on his hips. The kiss transformed from a dry press of lips into something better, wetter. Lips moving, brushing lightly and then firmer, sending sparks flying down Wei Ying's spine. He shifted closer, looped his arms around Lan Chan's neck and sighed into the kiss. Lan Chan made a soft groaning sound and Wei Ying jerked his head back, eyes wide. There was a small smile on Lan Chan's mouth, lighting up his eyes.
"Wei Ying isn't the only person who will make sounds when we kiss."
Wei Ying stared at him for a moment before giggles welled up and he had to give in, burying his face in Lan Chan's neck while he laughed and hiccuped. Lan Chan petted the back of his head and swept his hand up and down his spine, sending tiny pulses of heat in its wake with each pass. Wei Ying pressed a kiss against the skin under his lips, feeling the sharp inhale against his chest and smiling as he did it again. He kissed his way back to Lan Chan's mouth, sucked at his lower lip, and gasped when Lan Chan turned the kiss slow, deep, and perfect. They discovered he did have weirdly sensitive ears, and ribs, and a spot just below his navel, on the backs of his knees. He learned that Lan Chan made low, breathy sounds when Wei Ying rubbed his face across his belly and thighs. Wei Ying learned that even in human form, he could make the surprise whoop sound, and that he yowled when he came so hard he forgot how to think. Lan Chan looked incredibly smug at that, so Wei Ying made him whine into his own orgasm. When they caught their breath, they moved into his bedroom and did it all over again just as noisily. Twice. "Lan Chan," Wei Ying said after sunset, when they were sprawled tiredly in his bed. Lan Chan's hand was still gently sweeping the length of his spine, from nape to base, and he had the urge to purr even though he was human-shaped.
"Lan Chan, I like you too. I like you a lot."
He felt Lan Chan kiss the top of his head, and it made him smile into the nice warm place he'd found in the crook of Lan Chan's neck. It smelled perfect, and he might never be able to leave.
"That's good," Lan Chan rumbled. "I like Wei Ying too, all of him, even the unexpected parts."
Wei Ying discovered that he could, in fact, purr in human form. By the next moon time, Wei Ying was living almost full-time at Lan Chan's house. They'd installed a cat flap, and his own little house had a for rent sign outside. The coffee table and sofa were unsalvageable, but that was fine. Lan Chan's sofa was much more comfortable for lounging on, whatever form Wei Ying wanted to take. Lan Chan was quite happy to pet Wei Ying's hair whenever he wanted, which was good because he discovered a previously untapped need for snuggling on the sofa or in their bed. Sometimes Wei Ying napped in cat form. Lan Chan didn't mind leaving the sofa with a cat snoozing in one corner and returning to find a naked Wei Ying waking up. He didn't mind very enthusiastically. On bad days, they supplied Wei Ying with as many toy mice and plush raccoons as he needed to work through his anger or upset. And then he let Wei Ying steal mushrooms and poured wine for him while they made supper together. For the first night of the full moon, Wei Ying brought his collar to Lan Chan, contact details updated, and allowed Lan Chan to fasten it around his neck after he transformed. He ran until his feet were ready to take him home and jumped in through the open kitchen window for old time's sake, and also so that he could knock over the brush caddy. There was food waiting for him to eat and a fresh pile of marking for him to lie on. Wei Ying rested his chin on Lan Chan's hand while they watched one of the dramas until bedtime. In the morning, Wei Ying woke up at the end of the bed as Lan Chan covered him with a warm blanket and held out a cup of coffee. It snowed on the full moon night, but Lan Chan bought a laser pointer and Wei Ying played until he was dizzy. On the third night, he forgot the time and transformed while he was still working at his desk in the office they'd set up. Lan Chan folded his clothes and turned off his laptop, and Wei Ying rewarded him very thoroughly for his thoughtfulness when he was human again. They went hiking one weekend, and Wei Ying resurrected a dead moose. They didn't try that experiment again, but Wei Ying was pleased to know he could do it if he ever needed to. Lan Chan's hand on Wei Ying's belly was a trap, but the kind of trap that left Wei Ying purring with satisfaction, and Lan Chan making those lovely whining sounds when he came. And Wei Ying never ever regretted letting Lan Chan find out what he was, because he realized, after they settled into their new life together, that letting Lan Chan see his cat form hadn't been an accident after all. It had been the unconscious expression of a dream he hadn't dared to hope for, a dream that paled against the reality of being loved by Lan Chan for everything he was. The end.